This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions. Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by Nakuma, OM Financial, and College Ave Student Loans. Welcome back to our continued coverage of Nakuma's Hawaii conference here on the beautiful island of Kauai in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, if you will. But hey, look who I ran into, Mr. David Tuyo, President and CEO of University Credit Union. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing great. Fancy meeting you here
in the middle of the Pacific. It's like you were moderating a panel or something.
Something like that, yeah. Oh my gosh, did we have a panel. We talked about crypto, we talked about AI, we talked about the metaverse, and we even touched on, games.
Yeah, games. Talk about Atari.
Atari, who
doesn't like good old Atari? So,
no.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Atari. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
So, yeah, great session. And I actually recorded it. So, we're going to have excerpts.
Oh, nice.
I'm gonna post some excerpts of some of the Q&A and the responses and stuff. So, yeah, you guys, Gordon Howe and Don Arkell as well, mm-hmm. did a great job up there providing some great topical and actually experienced information to the credit union.
Well, and you did a great job herding the cats.
Well, we tried to do it.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
It was good that it took me long to get out here because the audience was just kept on asking more and more questions. And
they're curious.
And very curious around the topic, mm-hmm. and then also just complimentary about the session in general. So,
yeah. Oh, good.
Great to hear, and glad that we could add some value.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you pulled double duty today because you had your own session and then the panel session.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about your individual session, which was entitled The Digital Dilemma, How to Keep People Helping People in a Tech-Focused World, which I think is a lot of credit unions are wrestling with this as we were really kind of accelerated into the digital arena by that thing called COVID. But we're trying to find, it sounds like they're trying to find this equilibrium, if you will, the balance of it. And so this is kind of what you addressed in your session, and yes. kind of using the example of how you guys have really taken advantage of the use of bots.
Yeah, I think, you know, early on it was like the philosophical approach. Yeah, we're really helping people if we're using bots. Are we just kind of shuffling them off to the side? And so people were slow to the game because they weren't sure what that looks like.
Yeah.
But now, if you think about your retail application, your retail experience you have almost anywhere, you're going to interact with a bot. You know, whether it's
right.
American Airlines or Delta Airlines, if you missed a flight, you're talking to a bot. You know, and so these are things that we get to experience in our lives. And, you know, whether it's online at your favorite store, whether that might be, for me, it might be the PGA Superstore.
There you go.
They have their own bots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I'm interacting with. They're asking me if I want assistance when I want to buy something or get
mm-hmm.
fitted. And so it is now ubiquitous. And so it's not really shuffling our members off. Now it's a tool to make ourselves more efficient,
mm-hmm.
expedite service. 24/7 service, 365 service, no holidays, no sick time, right? The bots are fantastic from that regard. And what we're doing is we're using it from to define a new economy of scale.
Okay.
And so what it allows us to do is we're going to automate our service with our members,
mm-hmm.
and then also through bot cross automation, we're going to automate fulfillment on the back end.
Okay.
So now we're going to have not just an immediate answer and service up front that then our team has to follow up
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to have that immediate service up front that's automatically going to be fulfilled with email or text follow up to the member to let them know that everything's been confirmed.
Right on.
And so you think about that experience overall, you know, accuracy levels are 98.98% right now with our bots.
That's amazing.
That
I
is
saw
amazing.
That stat up
yes.
there. I went, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you about what my family says, like, hey, dad, you know, you need to be more 98.98% accurate.
Yeah.
But it is a great tool, and we're so lucky to have a great partner
mm-hmm.
with Interface AI
yeah.
As well to help support that journey.
Yeah, because we interviewed you guys early on.
We did.
And now kind of maybe getting a status update, because you had some tremendous numbers to show. Because one of them was in 2017, your loan originations were 60 million, is that correct? For the whole year. And now they're over a billion?
Yeah, a billion. Yeah.
How did the bots help out in that area?
So what we saw was the completion percentage online went up, and then also the funding ratio from our online loan applications went up. So a lot of times what happened was the members would get stuck on a particular question, or they didn't know how to answer a question. And so they would just abandon it completely. They would X out and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the bot's been trained that if the cursor starts moving towards that button on the top right-hand corner that we don't want them to hit, then it jumps in and says, hey, how can I help you? Is there a problem with this
really?
Particular field? And so it might be around income. It may be around a joint borrower. Do I need to have a joint borrower?
Yeah.
And so the bot's going to walk them through. Hey, just fill out the application, submit it. If we need extra information, we'll follow up with you.
Okay.
But let's get this thing started and applied now, and we'll get you an answer as quickly as we can. And so that's where we saw a 13% lift in funding ratios of all online loan applications over the last 2 years. It's been a fantastic tool for us, both from an expense reduction perspective or more management perspective, but then also revenue generation in the form of lending, helping our members get loans, helping our members achieve their needs, wants, and desires today in a very quick and expedited manner. So for us, it's been a tremendous journey, and we're excited about the next couple iterations we have coming.
Yeah, no doubt. And I want to get to, I mean, I don't, you probably get member feedback. So what, I'm sure you guys kind of get the pulse on that, how members like this, because for a lot of folks out there, the bots are still kind of a new thing, and kind of managing them and dealing with that type of stuff. So what kind of feedback have you guys gotten from your members?
Great question. So, you know, naturally, everybody says, yo, you're a university-based credit union, so you work with nothing but 20-year-old students, and they love new technology. Well, actually, that's true. We do work with students, and we have a good portion. However, our average age is 51 years old. And so when you think about that, we have a full spectrum. And I get compliments from our members, whether they're 18, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
I also get compliments most recently from an 81-year-old member who absolutely loved our bot, especially the one on the website. So he kept on saying, you know, I search all the time. I'm looking for this. I'm just curious to learn more about this and whatever that topic may be. And he gets lost. You know what I mean? He's frustrated and just goes on and goes to something else for this day. But Royce, our bot, allows him to have a more curated session, allows him to get more targeted information based on the specific questions that he's asking. Yeah. And the bots are always learning. So as our other 55,000 members are searching for similar items, we understand that when these words are used, this is what you're looking for. And it's just tremendous. I can give you examples where that has been fine-tuned over time. For example, one of my favorite stories was Tony Hsieh from Zappos. Remember Tony Hsieh? And of course, you know, he's passed away now, but he led the industry around culture. He led the industry around how to really approach work in a different way, a different approach around serving your employees first and those kinds of things that we really lean into our organization. But he told a story once about how they were up late one night, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not advocating that. Get 8 hours of sleep. However,
In this instance,
they were up late and they were looking for a pizza place. He said, well, somebody said, well, just call Zappos. They'll know everything. So they called Zappos call center and they said, you know, hey, where's the nearest pizza place? And the agent stalled for a second and then gave them a response of three of the closest area places that they were going to have pizza near them, and then actually made a pizza recommendation in one of them because they had been there. And so I'm like, okay, this is fantastic. So I'm telling the story to my 15, 17-year-old when we came. They're like, what would Royce say? Like, that's a good question.
Yeah.
So we pull up Royce, and I have my GPS enabled on Royce, and I'm like, hey, Royce, you know, where's the nearest pizza place near me? And now Royce doesn't know the nearest pizza place near me. However, what Royce did was it served me up all the shared branch locations that were closest to my location at moment in time.
Oh my gosh.
And so, again, learning about how place relates to location and location relates to ATMs and branches, Royce served that to me through machine learning.
Wow.
And so this is something that we did not program it to do that, but it learned over time. And this is the power of the tool. Just like our employees learn over time through interactions with our members, the same way that the bot does that as well. And so it's been tremendous.
Wow, what a great example. And oh, by the way, Tony Hsieh's book, Delivering Happiness, a must read.
It's a great book.
For customer service, for sure. The other thing that I found fascinating in your talk is that Royce can have different dialects, or like you were giving the example of if there's a credit union in Arkansas, you pointed out somebody in the audience that you could program or it would learn to say y'all instead of you all or something I just found that really fascinating and kind of fun too.
It's great, and we know, like, being in California, we have a diverse base, but you see this around the country. I was born in Flint, Michigan. I grew up in Alabama, spent the majority of my life in Florida, and now I live in California for the past 5+ years. And so, you know, if I was in Alabama, I'd be interacting with somebody. I'd want to hear y'all. And,
exactly.
Hey, and that's both plural and singular, right? I mean, understanding how it's being used and how people interact with one another, it doesn't take away the fact that it's a bot, but it does make it more personal. It does increase the experience of us.
Yeah.
Little touches, right? So it's like, we look at Turkish retail outlets that are outdoors, and you have, you know, fish next to flowers, right? Mm-hmm. How they use scents and how they offset things to increase the experience, right?
Yeah,
it's the same way here.
Gotcha.
We want to take those kind of, you know, generational learnings around retail and apply them to these experiences. And at that point, now we can have a better outcome, right? And the member's like, wow, that wasn't so bad. I got to talk to a bot. Maybe it's 11 o'clock at night. I got my balance. But they say, you know, hey, you know, have it. Now, I'm not going to say the bot's going to say, you know, bless their heart or anything like that. But it is something that we're I think little mechanisms like that would make a huge difference and go a long way. And the adoption rate would go up as well.
Well, and there's a comfort factor to that.
Yes. You know?
Hey, they're speaking my language, essentially. So, yeah.
Exactly. Literally speaking my language.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about was taking back the service crown. You talked about that in your session about credit unions need to take back that service crown, since I guess there have been some surveys out that banks have surpassed credit unions, but we need to take that crown back, and automation is the key in getting that back. Can you explain that a little bit?
So, you know, it's just taking a tool from their tool belt and using it to our advantage.
Mm-hmm.
No one serves with a bigger heart. No one serves with more passion than credit unions. I mean, I've been around the block. I was at banks. They do a fantastic job. But the heartfelt approach to how we serve from the soul is really different. Mm-hmm. And so leveraging digital and then using that same kind of service approach with our bots allows us to automate and provide 24/7 service, 365 days, have it be consistent across the board, and then allow our team to then have those more elevated conversations, more difficult conversations with the member, and spend more time there and not worry about that the blinking light's there for the next phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of trying to look at, hey, it's been 2 minutes, I get off the phone call, our team can spend a lot more time with our members, whether it's 9 minutes or 90 minutes, to make sure that they're solving the problem, listening to the member, sharing the moment, and then ultimately winning the business. And so I think that's the key for the future, is making sure that we automate the basics and then allow the more complex to be handled by human.
And the beauty of this is what you already alluded to, that this is just going to get better.
Yes.
It's going to get smarter.
Yes.
The more you use it. Because, you said you have 55,000 people using it.
Yep.
Every time it gets used, it gets smarter, right?
And right now, our average interaction is 59 seconds with the bot, and automation is in the 40% range. So that's a pretty nice delta as far as, or lift rather, for the bot and performance. And then you think about what can happen in the future. We think that with RPA, we might be able to get that closer to 70% automation.
Oh, wow.
And then that just allows for much more robust discovery and exploration from the human side of the business. And so I think our members have, and we see it with our growth, have seen great value in our approach.
No doubt. Yeah. And because you're getting rid of the mundane tasks that a call center has to do. And that allows the call center to do more meaningful work, I guess, or developing those relationships rather than, hey, what's my balance? Or can I make a payment?
At your point, now they're finding their work much more rewarding, much more gratifying, you know, and they even view themselves differently now. We've changed their titles. No longer are they called contact center agents, right? And they had agent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 19, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now we have a career progression that they go through based on knowledge gains and based on performance. And they become member success coaches, they become member wellness coaches, and then ultimately become financial advisors, because that's ultimately what our members are going to need long term, right? They need to be discovering goals and risk tolerances and those kinds of things, not just on the loan and deposit side, but across the full spectrum, right? So you think about retirement planning, you think about, you know, whatever life's going to throw at them, event planning, maybe it could be a college education planning, those kinds of things. Our team needs to be able to have those conversations with our members, and we're growing that now. It's working out very, very well.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's that type of service is going to spread like wildfire throughout your membership if it hasn't already. So yeah, and I want to talk about implementation. I was blown away by the implementation of this. You said, "Well, I'll let you share it." I mean, this is phenomenal.
It really is.
Here
I
that
mean,
you
now granted, probably the timelines will take a little bit longer now because we were so early. We were the third kind of credit union in the entire industry to leverage this technology.
Okay.
So we're, when you do that, you're absolutely early on. You're going to move very fast. There's going to be some errors. You're going to come back and do some rework.
Sure.
But with that being said, what was amazing is that we signed the contract, and 7 days later, we had it back from our partner, ready to go live. So we were testing in 7 days, and we were live within 3 weeks. I mean, it was unbelievable how fast it was with regards to having Royce. I mean, it took us longer to come up with the name for the bot than it was anything else.
That's funny.
It is true, though.
Because
you're trying to think about, it's a member-facing bot. Was that the name's meaningful? It should reflect our history. It should reflect our heritage. Where do we come from? You know, Royce, for us, was big because that's where our charter papers were signed.
Yeah.
The iconic building that you see in every UCLA picture is Royce Hall.
Yeah.
And our papers were signed in Royce Hall.
Awesome.
So 1951.
Awesome.
So, it was easy to come up with Royce, and it sounds simple now, but back then we had a lot of different options.
Right.
And
very appropriate.
And our partner got us live quickly. When you look at how we went into our loan applications, our new account applications, we got into the contact center. We were live across through every member touch point within 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You think about the library of knowledge that had to be developed. Our teams were unbelievable. Yeah. At University of Creighton, our team of nerds are like nobody else. I mean, we take that as a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of our team that worked on this. We had a cross-functional interdependent team that really led this initiative around making sure that the bot knew everything from every single area. You think about the complexity has to happen. I mean, it's worked out really well. And then every iteration of how that question can be asked, because you know the machine learning happens at the more it's being used, but mm-hmm. machine learning happens when what? When they get it wrong, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's a lot of wrong answers to get to the right answer before the machine the bot learns how to answer these questions correctly.
And it's all natural language too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously. So you think about like, hey, you know, how do I open an account?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we trained it to say how to open a membership.
Yeah.
Right? So again, these kinds of things where that the bot gets smarter and smarter mm-hmm. over time. And now with us having hundreds and thousands and millions of interactions mm-hmm. across all the different touch points, it's now a robust tool.
Yeah, no doubt. And last question for you, fraud concerns here, because somebody brought that up in the Q&A part of it. So what's the fraud concern here, or if at all?
Yeah, not only fraud, but I think also just risk, right, in decision making. If you're using bots to make loan decisions, mm-hmm. things of that nature, mm-hmm. is there disparate treatment? And so we take a belt and suspender approach mm-hmm. around making sure that we're testing for these kinds of areas around disparate treatment, making mm-hmm. sure that in our loan area that decision making is not being done in a way that's affecting anybody in a negative way, that the decision making is consistent across the board, and we test for that every single day. And so if there is an error, we're going to course correct it very, very quickly. So far we've been very fortunate it hasn't happened yet.
Good.
On the fraud side of things up front, you know, obviously if you're using like, let's say biometrics, mm-hmm. if somebody comes to you and opens up a fraud account
right.
and everything authenticates based on traditional measures,
right.
and then you now have them, that's all you know them by, then you have potential fraud risk.
Yeah.
They can access everything. They can get fictitious loans, they can do, and so that's huge risk that you have to make sure that you plan for, you allow for, that you really mm-hmm. Monitor. So, right? So with risk, you have to identify, that's the easy piece, but now, what about trying to transfer that risk or mm-hmm. mitigate that risk mm-hmm. or insure that risk?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to look at your different channels to figure out what's the best approach for your credit union.
Yeah, but you guys are on top of it. Your team of nerds, as you say,
yes,
are on top
and
of it.
And I wear that
sure.
proudly, yes. I am the biggest nerd.
That's well
nerd.
You should.
Yes.
That's well you should. So good stuff. Anything else to add, Dave? I mean, we could probably talk another 20 minutes.
No, it's been a great event. You know, Nakuma's done a great job. I'm very, very humbled to be able to speak here and share some of our successes at University mm-hmm. of Creighton with the industry.
Yeah.
But I'm learning so much already from the group here. It's been a great collaboration, and look forward to the rest of the conference.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you've been a busy guy. I mean, you've been talking to people well after your sessions and stuff. So
it's a very engaging group.
Indeed, yeah. All right, David, I'm going to let you get back at it. Thank you so much.
Thank
David Tuyo, everybody from University Credit Union. Go check them out. They're doing some really cool stuff. Studio Lounge Interviews brought to you by Nakuma, OM Financial, and College Ave Student Loans.
This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.